Good morning. I understand if you saw that youth clip, the eggnog chugging did not end well. That's just rumor I heard. There may have been some eggnog spewing after that. I tried to give them some ideas for my youth pastoring days, but they didn't use any of them. We used to do this thing in junior high camp where a bunch of because you only get junior high boys to do this. Well, once in a while, a junior high girl would go for it. But the guys come out, and they would have five or six of them in a row with a glass of water and a toothbrush and some paste. And the first guy dips it in and brushes his teeth, spits, rinses, passes the glass to the second person. And they put the same toothbrush in all the way down, and the guy on the end drinks the water. And then there are girls running to the bathroom spewing. It's just all in the name of youth ministry. It's all great. Well, I'm super excited about our Christmas Eve service next week. We'll have just one service and celebrate. It's just going to be such a great family time together next Sunday, Christmas Eve. Wow, what an amazing weekend we've had. Thursday, Friday, little drummer boy. All I can say is wow. That's like all I can get out. Yeah, go ahead. And I would love it if you would just stand to your feet and put your hands together and thank Karen, who gave incredible oversight to this. I mean, just phenomenal. Karen, thank you. Pretty sure I saw her pillow and bedroll up in her office the last couple of weeks. The number of moving parts to this, it's really, you can't even explain to you how many moving parts that happened. And we're just so appreciative of that. The production, stage, musicians, just put your hands together. Volunteers, I mean, just so many people to make that happen. I'm just so, so, so proud of what we were able to offer this region in terms of just the excellence of our music production. We do that each and every year. It's a gathering event. And if you're here this morning because you came to the production, you want to check us out, special welcome to you, or you checking us out online today, I just want to say a big welcome. Part of why we do the production is so that people can be exposed to what God's doing and the message of the good news. And if you don't have a home church, we sure hope that you'll stay here at Harvest and begin to just celebrate your faith with us. Christine and I work with a couple great couples and Karen, Ted and Mia, Ryan and Brittany and Karen. The seven of us work behind the scenes, the day-to-day operations of Heart. And I just want to give a special thank you to that team because they were as well all out, not just for the production. They go all out 52 weeks of the year with you in mind. And with our online folks in mind as well. So I just want to thank and recognize that amazing team that God's given to us here at Harvest. All right, I'm excited about this morning's message. I want to talk to you about peace. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. The phrase I want to look at this morning, Prince of peace. Jesus, thank you so much that you're here. Lord, help us open our hearts, our minds, our souls, our spirits, all of us open to you today to understand the principles of living in peace. Lord, it's our gift to us from you. Help us today in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. I think there's a clip here I want to show you. How many have seen that episode before? There's only that many Seinfeld people still alive on planet Earth. If I'd put up an Office clip, how many would have recognized an Office clip? Oh, less good. I'm glad. It's actually a phenomena that my generation can't understand the office. The humor is so different. I just find it so cringy. I can't stay with it. But I do appreciate the Seinfeld humor. In this episode, George Costanza's father, Frank, is having trouble with his blood pressure. He goes to the doctor. The doctor gives him some meditation exercises. And so every time he feels stress rising, he's supposed to say, "Serenity now." At the end, his wife is so sick and tired of him yelling out "Serenity now" that she's driving the car at him in the garage. And George had said to him, don't use the phrase "Serenity now." What do you want me to say? Say "Hoochie Mama." So that's the final scene as the car comes crashing in into the garage where they're trying to sell computers. So the idea of the episode was "Serenity now, insanity later." And the world would define peace as the absence of war or the absence of chaos. The absence of war, the absence of chaos. And the Bible actually doesn't define peace that way. So we want to look at that this morning and understand what peace is, who the Prince of Peace is in Jesus, and how we can live every day in peace. So in the New Testament, Jesus told his disciples, he's telling us this morning, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have," what? "You may have," say it again. Said the church this morning that just went through a weekend. You heard my wife's voice. And so those of us and many of us have been working hard these last few weeks. And I know we just want to snuggle and kind of get real peaceful. The sounds of heavenly peace. Let me lull you to sleep. No, that's not going to happen. "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble." Say trouble. So we have both at the same time. "But take heart, I've overcome the world." So peace is something that in the middle of our trouble, peace will overcome. We have overcoming peace in the midst of trouble. Sometimes trouble stops, sometimes it doesn't. And we, as a Christ follower today, we are learning how to live in the world. We're not of the world, but we are certainly in the world. And there is trouble in the world, and there's overcoming peace. That's the promise this morning. In the Old Testament, Gideon, who is one of the judges in the Old Testament, and he's a wonderful, wonderful story as we read the Old Testament. I just want to, without really unpacking the story of Gideon, that he has a revelation. Many of the Old Testament figures will have an understanding of who God is and then give him a name, a title, based on the revelation. And so Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, was Abraham's revelation of God. Gideon's revelation was the God of peace, Jehovah Shalom. And so Gideon builds an altar. He has an experience with God, and he calls this experience, "I have discovered that he is the Lord of peace." So the Lord is peace. God is peace. He's the Jehovah Shalom. The Old Testament word... I didn't tell you the New Testament. The New Testament understanding of peace is to quieten the noise on the outside. To quieten the noise on the outside. Actually, I will put that up in a second. The shalom, the Old Testament word for peace, means nothing broken, nothing missing, contentment. Nothing broken, nothing missing, living in contentment. In other words, the promise of Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, is there's no void in your life that he can't fill. There's nothing in you, any space in you that he can't fill. There's no broken areas of your life that he can't heal. That every area on the inside of our life, that the God of peace comes into our life and is able to fill the voids and able to heal the brokenness. As I talked to, how did I skip that? The New Testament understanding of peace is God trouble, quietening the noise of the outside. And I want to take these two ideas. There's no void he can't fill, no broken place he can't heal, and quietening the sounds of the outside. So outside and inside having peace. I want to look at the Mine just went blank. The shepherd's psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. And that word want is exactly what we're talking about, everything filled. Living in a contentment that we're so filled with the things of God that there's healing, brokenness has been healed, voids have been filled. And so as we go down into that psalm, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Let's unpack this verse for a second to understand how peace fills. To prepare a table. This is not a card table with a sheet over it and some Billy Kay's steamies serving on top. No offense to Billy Kay's. So this is not that. This is when this word prepare a table is like the Mongolia buffet is the one I can kind of remember. And there was one as I was a kid in London growing up called the Garage. And as an 11, 12, and 13-year-old boy, I would dream about going to the Garage restaurant buffet because they had roast beef. They had turkey. They had chicken. They had pork. They had every meat imaginable. They had fish. They had this rows and rows, miles of food. And when you're an 11, 12, or 13-year-old boy with a plate that's empty, and you start in that line, and I've been a carnivore my whole life, man, you just slopping, I mean, food on there. We're talking prepare table. This is a feast fit for a king. The Lord prepares a table for you and I with every kind of food imaginable. The presentation is perfect. There are leftovers for a lifetime, yet he calls you to the table each and every day of your life to say, I've prepared a table for you. I've prepared a table for you. Not only has he prepared a table, that word preparation, the work and the consideration that he puts in for you and I on an individual basis, that God knows your specific need. He knows your specific voids. He knows your specific brokenness. He knows what needs to be healed. And your nutritional value, everything you have need of, is on the spiritual table that he has prepared for you. He's gone to great lengths to do that. And David, in the Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I won't want, ever. Why? Because he's prepared a table for me. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need. Everything we need. I could say that 20 more times for emphasis, because we don't always kind of pause and really come to this realization and revelation. Everything that I need is on the table that he's prepared for me. We have received all of this. How? By coming to know him. Not know about him, but coming experientially and experiencing God, experiencing Jesus, experiencing the Holy Spirit. We sang about the Trinity this morning, the three in one. We've received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Everything we need, Jesus shows up into our lives with a prepared table and says, it's here for you. You prepare a table before me, you anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. My anointed head speaks of a place of honor at the table. That you literally have a chair at this table that has your name on it. Because of the numbers of people, there were a couple of sections where we had reserved here in the room over the two nights so that those serving would have a place to sit because we really needed them to be in the room. And God has a place at the table with not just reserved for your name, reserved for everything that you have, everything that you have need of this morning. He says, I have a place for you to sit at the table. As we're going to see, as this verse in the New Testament, it's because he's sitting at the table across from us, looking at us face to face, the place of honor at the table, and my cup runs over. It is just perpetually, it speaks of abundance, that your beverage is never running out. You're sitting at a place that everything that I have need of, I am the, actually, he's not sitting in the seat of honor. He's put you into the seat. He's anointed you. You're not anointing him. That was a sign of recognizing a king. He, the King of Kings, is saying, I want to recognize you this morning. I want you to know you're the most important thing in the universe to me right now. I have a seat for you. Come, sit down. Let's sit face to face. I've got exactly what you need, and it's never going to run out. Isn't that a wonderful picture? Behold, go ahead. Give thanks to the Lord. Let's give him a good clap. Behold, I'm standing at the door knocking. If your heart is open to hear my voice, and open the door within, and I'll come in and feast with you, and you will feast with me. And that's the picture of that New Testament invitation in Revelation. It's picking up on this idea of not just having our quiet time. And part of what I'm doing is leading up to our month of January, which is we always take the first 21 days of January. We'll do it again this year. I'm excited about some guest speakers. Pastor Cam will be here. Pastor Russ will be here speaking to us in our midweek services. And we'll have all of that for you in the calendar. And I hope you will set aside time in those 3 months. They're extra meetings, but they're not. They're really the core of preparing our year, of really resetting ourselves spiritually to understand that we need to feast, not just have a quiet time with the Lord, but feast. Say feast. And John picks it up, Jesus saying, "I abide in me and I will abide in you." All this is happening in Psalm 23 in the presence of my enemies. And it literally means in the face of my enemy. All of what I just described is happening in the face of my enemy. A number of years ago in our first house, I think really a one season room. You know, you have those four seasons rooms that you can't, and it's really three. No, it's a two. I think it was just a one. It was attached in the back of the house, had a crawl space underneath, and just a dirt area that this part of the house was on. And one spring, I could detect a skunk that had come out of hibernation early, and he had sprayed in the neighborhood, and I realized that he was living underneath that portion of our house. And so I went to the hardware store and got a smoke bomb. You would light it and toss it into the hole and humanely deal with the skunk. And just let you know that no skunks were hurt in the making of my story, either at the beginning, the middle, or the end. The skunk went on to live in my story. Just have to put that in there right now. Online, somebody's getting ready to say, Pastor Roy hates animals, and I don't. And so I did. That was my intention, though. I did have the evil intention of ending the skunk's life. And so I shone the light in. It was a very dark area. There was no light that was getting in. It was all wooded in with this little trap door. And so I crawl in with my flashlight, and I'm looking to see where this burrow might be. And in the way back, far back corner of this dirt crawl space underneath this three season, two one season room. I see some dirt that's been just loosely dug, and I'm assuming that's where he is. And so I crawl in, and it really was a crawl space. I literally have to crawl not to hit my head on the rafters above. And I get over to the far corner in this little spot on my hands and knees, and I shine the light, and I'm realizing, no, there's no hole here. He's probably looking for some worms or grubs or whatever. And I turn around to leave, and 2 feet away is the skunk looking at me head on. I mean, he was so close. I could hear as he's sniffing to figure out what I am, and his whiskers are moving. I can see my reflection in his eyes. I mean, I am nose to nose with this skunk. And at that moment, I slowly, as slowly as I could, click off, and that click sounded like a clap of thunder. I thought I was done for right there. I thought he was spinning around. I was going to see the business end of that skunk, but he kept sniffing, and I'm petrified. My heart is racing out of my chest. Anxiety, feeling it like it. I've never had it before. I get the light off, and I'm staring, and thoughts are racing through my mind. They can smell fear. Oh, no. Well, if they can smell fear, that's why he's sniffing. I'm thinking, wait a minute. No, that's bears. That's bears. Bears, they can smell fear. It's not the skunk. Okay, good. I'm good. And then it was like, no, don't look him in the eye. I looked the other way. Don't look him in the eye. No, that's wolves. That's not skunks. And I don't know what to do. And I'm just frozen, and I'm looking. I start praying. I'm thinking, oh, God, you gave us dominion over the animals in the name of Jesus right now. I'm praying in my head. I just take authority over the spirit of skunk right now. And so all of this is going, and it seems like an eternity, but he finally gives up on sniffing the air. He turns around, and I see his tail drop down. So there's the burrow, and I literally can hear him turn around down in the burrow and kind of, no more sound, he's comfortable. And you want to talk about army crawl? I did the army crawl in like, they should have timed it. I got out of there. I was in the presence of my enemy. I was in the presence of my enemy. That enemy was in my face. Jesus said, all of what I'm doing for you, in the world there is trouble. There is the enemy. The table is set in the presence of the enemies. Have you ever been in a worship service? And hopefully this morning was one of those, but where you're in a worship service where you experience the presence of Jesus in such a real way. As you're just, I call it being lost in his presence. And I've had times where I've opened my eyes, I really moved during worship, and I just love music, and where I've opened my eyes and I've been facing the wrong way. I go, oops. Like I didn't even realize I've done the hokey pokey and turned myself about, and just the reality how, and in those moments you're like, man, let me pray for a dead person. I'll raise him from the dead. This faith is alive. You know, your experience with Jesus is so alive. And you have that experience with Jesus is so alive. You're at the table. You have fellowship. You have feasted. It's amazing. And then Monday morning, the enemy's in your face. And the anxiety's racing. And those realities, they're both real. And they're going on at the same time. And while you were in the worship service, the enemy wasn't any less real. When you're out on Monday morning, Jesus is not any less real. They're both in your face, which is what being in the presence, literally in the face of God, means. But which one are you focused on? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And so receiving peace this morning, as I unpacked that main point this morning, is both are going on. It's not either or. Oh, when I'm in worship, I'm not dealing with the enemy. No, you're not looking at him. You're just not looking at him. He's there. Because the psalmist David said, he's prepared him. Oh, it is so amazing. So wonderful. We clap. Yeah, praise God. It's wonderful. I love that. But then why are the enemies in my face too? Because Jesus said, in the world, you will have trouble, but I give you my peace, which is understanding his presence in our day-to-day lives. We experience peace in his presence. And that's why we want you to practice his presence. We want you at home each and every day, not just on Sunday, but each and every day you begin practicing presence. You understand I'm at the table feasting with him. Wow, that's peaceful because Prince of Peace is with me. Let me tell you about another principle here, another story we can draw some principles of peace. There was a great windstorm arose. Jesus and his disciples had gotten into a boat, and they were crossing the sea to get to another destination, which was across the Sea of Galilee. And the waves beat into the boat. These are fishermen who aren't afraid of anything. They're hard-bitten fishermen. They're not afraid. But this storm was pretty wild because they were afraid. And he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. Jesus, asleep in the boat on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're dying? We're perishing? We're going to drown?" And he rose and he rebuked the wind which means basically he got out and yelled at, raised his voice and yelled at the wind and the beating of the waves and the exterior sounds that happen in her life, not just the inside stuff that's going on because of my brokenness and areas that need to be healed, not just the inside stuff that's going on because I haven't learned how to fill those areas with him. There are voids. There are things going on. I'm heading toward, Lord is my shepherd. I won't want. That's a done deal. No, I'm growing there. I'm getting there. And so there's stuff inside, I need peace. There's stuff outside going on. There are circumstances and situations. Bad enough I'm feeling anxiety on the inside, but all this stuff is on the outside. And if that would just stop, maybe this would stop on the inside. No. This stops on the inside when I fill it with Jesus. This on the outside doesn't always stop, but Jesus raises his voice so that they can hear it above the wind and the waves. And he says, peace. Be still, which is a nice way of really in the translation, it's shut up. Serenity now. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. No noise on the outside. But he said to them, why are you fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? As we live in peace, practicing his presence and understanding that I'm working on those areas that need healing on the inside. So when I become anxious, when I have all of these symptoms that I'm not at peace right now, I'm not at rest right now, it's because something on the inside is wanting or something on the inside needs healing. And so I'm going to the table to get what I need. When I'm seeing the circumstances of life and they are getting my attention because it's so loud, so boisterous, so real, I'm never going to say ignore the realities of life, but where are we focusing? And we need to learn how we can actually get to a point of quieting ourselves before the Lord without him having to get woken up and saying, shut up, so he can teach us. Actually, you can snuggle up with me in the boat and we'll both sleep. Why was Jesus able to sleep? Because he knew how to tune out the noise. He knew how to tune out the noise. He knew how to tune out the noise. And we have to learn with him and him helping us how to tune out the sounds of this world that create the noises and the sounds that get louder and louder and louder. And we say the same thing to Jesus. We say, don't you care? I'm dying here. He goes, really? Because if you die, I'm going to die. We're in the same boat. Yeah? In peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. Learning how to quiet in your heart. Old school, we used to say, just quiet in your heart before the Lord. What does that mean to quiet in your heart? It really means to begin to focus on Jesus in a way that those exterior sounds of circumstance, they're still there, but they're not as loud as his voice in your heart and life that you can hear. Even though he's whispering, he's not shouting, the small, still voice of the Lord. And I'm not accusing him, I'm going to die. You don't care about me. No, all of a sudden then I realize, wait a minute, he does care about me. So I'm able to do this. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Give all your worries and cares to God. He cares for you. Have you ever heard somebody say, hey, have a nice day. Take care. Take care. No way. I ain't touching it. Not this guy. I mean, I hopefully in a good day. I ain't touching my care. No. I ain't taking care. I'm not taking yours. I'm not taking mine. I'm giving it to God. I'll give care to God, but I'm not taking it. Say, don't take care. Say it louder. Yeah. Why? Because when you take care... You are saying, I'm in control. God, you're late. God, you didn't come through. God, you don't care. And because you don't care, I'm going to take care. In a lot of marriages over the years, I've seen where one of the spouses has a background where something has happened to them where they had to, as a young age, as a child, take responsibility that wasn't theirs. You know, as a little kid, mom and dad were alcoholics or whatever, and so younger brothers and sisters needed to be cared for because mom and dad won't do it. And so they learned at a young age, if you don't take care, nobody else is going to take care, and I have to take care. And they'll carry that into adult life where it becomes an issue in the relationship because one of those spouses becomes a control freak and wants to control everything going on in the marriage because they can't let anything rest for 2 seconds. Why? You know, they're yelling at their husband. Why didn't you take the garbage out? And then they take it out themselves. And then they have a conversation. Well, why did you take it out? Why don't you let him take it? Well, if I left it up to him, it would never get done. That laughter just came out way too easy and fast on that. I won't even look to see who that was but I am available on Wednesdays is my day at the office for meeting with people. But we do that with God. We do that with God. I'll just leave that one there. All right. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And thank him for all he has done, past tense. Then, say then, you will experience God's peace. I mean, that'll preach right there. Today's points are, number one, then. Number two, you. Number three, will. It'll actually happen. What will happen? You will experience peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. Because when we try to understand how to control our environment inside, the voids, the brokenness, the stuff that goes on in the inside, outside, circumstances, noise, I can take control of that. When I do that, I'm trying to understand. But when I do it his way, his peace will actually guard your heart inside, your mind outside, as you live in Christ Jesus. So this morning I'm asking the question, whose presence will you live in? Skunk? Or Jesus? And that's the goal. And I'm encouraging you this morning, it's a journey. It's a journey to learn how to do these things. But if you will meet him at the table each and every day, I promise you, Take this January. I promise you, you'll be a different person at the end of January if you'll commit to meeting him at the table and learning how he has, that you could read some random verse, and yet in that verse, he has exactly what you need to fill the void, heal the brokenness, quieten the outside sounds. Isaiah 26:3, he will keep you in perfect peace. All who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you, it's conditional. Perfect peace. Trusting, fixing my thoughts, training my mind. His peace will guard, say guard. Peace will literally, peace of course is the person of Jesus. He will literally stand on guard for thee, for you. He will literally stand on guard because you're trusting him and fixing your thoughts. His peace will guard your hearts and minds. And there it is again, hearts inside, minds outside. Let's end with this scripture that we started with. For unto us a child is born, a son is given. Government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We think of Prince Charming. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, just for a moment of reflection. It doesn't mean Prince Charming peace. That word prince means Lord, chief, general, the one in charge. And at Harvest, and I'm going to give an opportunity right here in a moment, we really accentuate the revelation that Jesus is our Savior, that he saved us from our sins. But then we begin our relationship with him, and we also then discover he's God, he's Lord, he is the Lord of my life. He is the only one to sit on the throne of my heart. And that's a journey. We learn that. And it's called obedience and submission. We submit to the Lord, and we're learning that as we go. And the more we obey, the more we make him the Lord, the more we experience peace. Because we're learning how to relinquish being in charge and letting him be in charge. Because he's the Lord of my life. And some of us this morning, just sitting in the quietness of this moment in this room online, we need a fresh, and I'm not asking to get saved in this moment. I'm asking you, you're saved. Your sins are forgiven. You know you have eternal life. I'm asking you to make a fresh commitment this morning. Jesus, I make you Lord. Because I need peace. And I need the Lord of peace in my life. Jehovah Shalom. I've got some things on the inside that have been triggering, going a little nuts these days. And I guess I lost sight of, I have some want. I have some void. I have some healing. Come, I'm going to sit at the table. Be my Lord. I want that filled and touched. Lord, I ask right now by your Holy Spirit all across this room, a fresh commitment to Lordship, which is simply a commitment to sit down at the table, to receive from you, to abide in you. And you and us, feasting with you afresh, taking the time to put you first as our Lord all across this room. And Lord, I thank you that you're depositing healing right now. You're filling voids right now. In fact, you're giving hope to somebody right now. This thing can turn around. Somebody just right now, there's just been so much noise of circumstance. It's still there. The skunk's still sniffing the air. But you're like pushing it aside. Go, excuse me, I don't see you. I want to see Jesus right now. Holy Spirit, would you be so real in this moment? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Just before we sing this closing song and Christina will come and pray a prayer of dismissal over us, we'll leave together. But just before, we're not done yet. In this very important moment, I wonder if there's someone in the room today where you've never begun your relationship with Jesus. You didn't think this kind of peace was possible. And today in this service, we never end a service without inviting someone online or here in the room to make the decision to invite Jesus into your life, to make him the Savior, the Lord and the Savior of your life. He died for you so that you could have eternal life. But it has to be received. You have to ask him to do it. This morning, if you've never asked him to come into your life, you're not sure about your eternal state. You don't know if you have peace with God this morning. And in the old movies, okay, Pilgrim, you better make peace with God. You're about to meet your maker. Well, thankfully, you're not about to meet your maker, but if you would this morning, would you have peace with God? You see, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, provided and made peace with us with God by dying on the cross in our place. And you can have peace with God this morning. If that's you this morning, I'm just going to count down from 3, 3, 2, and 1. When I reach 1, raise your hand. By your upraised hand, you're simply saying, I want to receive Jesus today. Would you pray for me, pastors? Anyone in the room? 3, 2, online, you can type in, I'm making a decision. 1, raise your hand this morning in the room. Thank you. And thank you for shooting it up so fast. Come on. Come on, somebody. Woo! I love that. Even though I was the only one that saw that, I just share that moment with y'all because that was exciting. Anyone else? I got wonderfully distracted by that young lady's hand. Thank you. Anyone else this morning? Maybe it's been a long time since you've made the decision and it meant something to you. I would invite, if that's you this morning or online, especially this young lady, you've raised your hand today. Would you pray this prayer? Let's all pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me.
I know I'm a sinner.
I know I'm a sinner.
Save me today.
Save me today.
Wash my sin away.
I receive
your sacrifice for my sin. I receive eternal life. And I receive my new life in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Put your hands together. Just congratulate those that made a decision. Would you stand to your feet today? Let's sing just before we go.
Spreading out to me. Oh, your goodness is
Just join your faith with those that are ready. They've been preparing this week so they could prepare, have a prayer, so they could pray for you this morning. We believe in miracles and healing, or what you might have resonated with something in the Word. Just come forward this morning and they'll take time with you.
Remember, before I pray, next Sunday we have one service at 10 o'clock and the 31st, one service at 10 o'clock, just so you don't show up expecting two services. Father, we thank you today, God,
yes,
for the word, God, that we can find peace in this season. God, I pray for each individual here this morning, God, that you will give them something today to take away. God, bless each and every family in this auditorium this morning. God, I pray protection,
yes,
and health,
yes,
and safety,
yes,
over each family.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, for days like today. Thank you, Jesus, for coming for us. We pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have an amazing week.